This course, History and Authenticity of the Bible, is taught by Dr. David Hawking. The course is provided by Sewing Circle and Blue Letter Bible Ministries. The courses at Blue Letter Bible Institute are taught from a range of evangelical traditions. All of the ideas and principles conveyed in each course are not necessarily held in total by the ministry of BlueLetterBible.org or Blue Letter Bible Institute. More information is available at www.blueletterbible.org. You are listening to Session 20, entitled Interpretation of the Bible, Part 1.
Okay, we come to the next gigantic subject related to the history and authenticity of the Bible, and in some respects, one of the most important that we've gotten, and that is the interpretation of the Bible. There are 12 principles that we're going to give you about the interpretation of the Bible. Anybody ever say to you, oh, you can't understand that book? Or, well, that's just your interpretation. Well, there are many interpretations anyway. First of all, the very word interpretation is a word that is in the Bible. Hermeneutics is just said into English from the Greek word, hermeneuo. Hermeneutics. It means interpretations. There is only one interpretation of the Bible, the one the Lord intended. There are lots of opinions and lots of applications, but there's only one true interpretation of the Bible, the one the Holy Spirit wanted when it was written. Now that's our job, you see, in interpreting the Bible, is to get back to that and find out how we can understand that. Is that just a quickie little fix? Attend Bible college for at least 1 year and you will now always interpret the Bible completely accurately. No. How do we do accurate interpretation of this Bible? It's one thing to know how it came into our hands. It's another thing to know how to interpret it. These principles must be there if we're going to accurately interpret the Bible. And there are 12 of them. And we'll spend more time on some of them, especially the last three we're going to spend quite a bit of time on. But let's get started. Principle number one is faith. Faith. If you begin to try to interpret the Bible in your study without depending upon the Lord, you're going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. I wonder how many of you, when you start to prepare something from God's Word, get on your knees and pour out your heart before God, ask for His help. Turn to Psalm 119 and let's just see what God has to say about it. I've come to believe that we get into more trouble because of the lack of prayer than anything else. We just don't pray. I've seen people have critical spirits towards people they don't even know. And you know, every time I see it, I say, you know, you must not be on your knees much before God. I just want you to know that we can find fault with each other anytime we want to. In the final analysis, if you and I aren't serious before God and do some changing, who cares what anybody's saying? And I wonder, when people get into this Christian game, and I see attitudes, I wonder, have you been on your knees before God? Prayer is a serious matter. I cannot interpret this book without prayer. But I'll tell you something, the real school is the school of prayer. That's a school. I love that series by Andrew Murray, but he has a beautiful little book, if you've not read it, called With Christ in the School of Prayer. Excellent. I also recommend to you all the books by E.M. Bounds. They were originally lectures to preachers about prayer. They now come in that little set, you know, in a bookstore by E.M. Bounds. In fact, they now have a larger edition where they take all of those little booklets and put them together. Beautiful stuff that E.M. Bounds wrote about prayer and our need of prayer. I was in Korea this summer and was talking to the pastors about what an example to see all these people early in the morning going up the mountains to pray. One of the pastors came to me and he said, it's not as great as you think. I said, why is that? He said, a lot of these people were Buddhists, and that's what we did under Buddhism. The question is, what are they saying once they get there? And I thought to myself, isn't that the truth? What are you and I like when we're all alone with the Lord? Do you really want Him to show you God's Word? Or do you kind of want Him just to bless what you've already decided you're going to do? Where's the heart of humility and brokenness before God? Do you really believe it's the Word of God? Do you really believe that God will answer prayer and show you I was stuck on a problem the other day. Two passages of Scripture look contradictory one to another. I had studied and studied. I got nowhere. And as I often do when that happens, I just went in my office, shut the door, got on my knees and said, Lord, I'm stuck. And I could almost hear him say, well, it's good to see you, David. You've been messing around over there in the library for a while, you know. You should have started with me. It would have made those books a lot more interesting. It's just like you get on your knees like you're embarrassed. All of a sudden you're aware, you know, I probably should have done this before I started. Please forgive me, you know, all that. It was amazing how the Lord just, choo! The answer was there. The very thing I've been struggling about. And you know, it's a reminder to me over and over and over again. We need prayer. We need faith. We need dependency on the Lord. In Psalm 119, we have a lot of beautiful statements. Let's just highlight a few. Verse 18, here's a prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Hebrew word for wondrous is incomprehensible, meaning too difficult to understand. Now, class, let's be honest, there are things difficult to understand in this Bible. Lots of it. Very hard to understand. Then what's the secret? Go to the Lord and depend upon Him. Open mine eyes, that I may behold difficult, incomprehensible things out of thy law. There's a prayer to understand. Look at verse 26 and 27. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Do you ask God, teach me your statutes? Do you say, make me understand? To say make me understand, and it's because of a grammatical form of the word that it's translated, make me to understand. It suggests that there's a natural tendency on our part not to do this. Somehow God needs to give us His gentle nudgings and proddings to make us understand. The psalmist is recognizing his own depravity and resistance when he says, make me to understand. Verse 33 and 34, teach me, again the prayer, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Notice back in verse 26 he said, teach me thy statutes, and here he says, teach me the way of thy statutes. See, when you come to study the Bible and find out the interpretation, sometimes it's not just the content that you get down, but it's the point of the content. It's the direction in which God wants you to go by what you have learned. And sometimes we see people are very intelligent in the Bible, but they don't know what it means. They don't know how to apply it. They don't know the direction they should walk because of it. And that comes as a result of dependency upon God as well. Teach me not only your statutes, but teach me the way of your statutes. And I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Sometimes we have no commitment to follow what God says. So don't expect Him to answer prayer in understanding your Bible. Lord, show me what this passage means. I will obey you no matter what it comes out as. See, frequently I find the Bible contradicts what I previously thought. Then I'm faced with the issue of whether I'm going to bow myself down to the Word or whether I'm going to keep doing what I thought. And sometimes when the Bible clearly shows you something you should do, but it's contrary to what you do, all of a sudden your mind thinks, I wonder if there's another interpretation. Oh, there'll always be another one in those books. But the one interpretation that God intended is the most important. That's why we use all these principles to help us, of which the first is, of course, prayer. In verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Here we have a motive for it, because everything behind it is good. All things work together for good. God is good. His goodness leads to repentance. So, Lord, I want to learn. I know that behind all of this is your goodness. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You know, you can learn something by memorizing it, but did you learn it? You might be able to reduplicate something on a test, but it has become a part of your lifestyle? Very important. Verse 169. I love the way this is expressed. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. All the way through this, there's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a cry from God's servant to, Lord, I want to know your word more than anything else. This morning, before I came here, we had a call from Philadelphia. A man said, I heard you on the radio years ago do a series on Psalm 119. 22 messages on that one chapter. I said, that's true. Do you still have them? I said, yes. He said, I want them desperately. I said, why? He said, well, when I first heard them, I guess I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, just listening. But I've got such a hunger for the Word of God. What will it take to send them priority mail? I said, well, we don't have to do that. We just send it regular. No, I want them now. I said, you're really desperate, aren't you? He said, something significant's happened in my heart, and I don't want to settle for anything anymore than hearing from God in His Word. Boy, that blessed me. I said, I used that in my class today. May God give us all that same heart. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek Him. You see, if you're going to go after this and you really want to know it, God's going to reward you. And you come with faith, believing that He will. He'll show me. He'll reveal to me. And I guess all that we impart to you here, this college, you know, praise the Lord for it. But if we haven't taught you to depend on the Lord, what have we taught you? But the issue that I'm trying to say to all of us is our need of prayer and dependency and faith and confidence in the Lord is crucial. And I believe that one of the reasons why we get into trouble is because we hurry. I know that's why I do it. You know, man, I got to get that message ready. I only got about 3 hours left. You know, I usually look up all the passages. I got to get a commentary. Maybe he's already looked them up, you know, and flip through the commentary, get another one, and I'm flipping through, and I'm going like crazy, you know. And, oh, man, now what am I going to do? You know, and call a phone, call a pastor friend of mine. Hey, you know that passage over there? Have you got anything on that, you know? And don't tell me guys don't do it. They do it to me every week. And yesterday, a friend of mine, he called me up. He said, hey, man, I need something on, you know, and he told me the passage and so forth. And I said, have you ever thought that the Lord could give it to you? David, I've got 2 hours. I need the answer to this. I said, I bet 10 minutes in prayer would do it. He said, you're not going to give this to me, are you? I said, no. Do you know the answer to it? Yes. Well, come on, give me the answer. I said, but you wouldn't know it yourself. You wouldn't experience the joy of digging it out. I said, I'll make a deal for you. You pray, you study it, and if you still haven't found it in 2 hours, you call me and I'll give it to you before you go in the pulpit. He says, you're rotten. I said, I know it. He hung up. The next day he calls me back and he says, you know, I want to thank you for that. Do you understand? Many of us are suffering what we're suffering because of the lack of prayer. We're not going to the Lord. Just give me, you got notes on that? Send them to me, man. I need them for next week. Really? Now what you need to do is to get on your knees before God, in front of that open Bible, and ask God to speak to your heart. Prayer is a school. Prayer is hard work. Prayer is discipline. I'd like to suggest the following simple things for you. One is to have a prayer list. I don't know about you, but I get down on my knees to pray. My mind wanders, or I think about a lot of things I'm going to try to do or whatever. So a prayer list is helpful. Names of people and specific requests. And I like to put the date of answer down to see when God answers it. You know, when people ask you to pray for them about something, and you either do it then or you write it down because you usually don't remember it. But if you do remember it, and then a week later you ask them, say, hey, what happened? People are often surprised. What are you talking about? Well, you asked me to pray about that thing. Like, oh, that, yeah. I've had that happen over and over again. I said, well, what did happen? Oh, the Lord worked it out. Great. Praise the Lord. It was a joy to pray for you. Oh, you prayed? Yeah. Oh, I didn't really expect you to. Well, you asked me. The Bible says, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you if I promise to do it. You see, so we need a prayer list, specifics. Another thing that I think is missing is worship. In other words, how to pray. We need to focus a lot more on praise and blessing and exalting and magnifying the Lord. And for that, I use the Psalms. I need direction. I love to pray with the Psalms in front of me. I love to read this. I will praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. My heart sings to you, Lord. I want to speak of all your wondrous works. Lord, you're so full of compassion and kindness, and you're so gracious. Before I know what's happening, I mean, God's melting me. His Holy Spirit's just melting me. So it's like, some call it pray reading, but I like to do that. Just pray through the Psalms. Righteous art thou, O Lord. upright in all thy judgments. And God, I want your word in my life. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I need that. Do you understand? It puts a new little kind of boost in life into your prayer life so it doesn't become a routine. Without faith, we can't please Him. And if we're going to see God answer, He will answer if we diligently, the Bible says, seek Him. I've always wondered about that in Hebrews 11:6 when it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Commentaries? Seek to put it together themselves? What is it that we seek in order to be rewarded with the answer? Him. Sometimes in your desire to be blessed by the Lord, you miss the blesser. I give you an illustration. My 4.5-year-old grandson, I had a great, wonderful time. Playing. We crawled on the floor in a race through the house. My wife says, if only your students could see you now. But I had a lot of fun with that little kid. But nothing blessed me more. After a long day of playing and everything else, he crawled up my lap, put his arms around me, kissed me on the cheek, and said, I love you so much, Grandpa. I just started crying. He said, what's the matter? I said, nothing. He gave him a big hug. Imagine what our Heavenly Father feels. I was made in His image after His likeness. And if that means so much to me, that little hug from that little kid made my month. I mean, it was so fantastic. As that little grandson saying, I love you, Grandpa. But that little hug was all it needed. And you understand that? In prayer, the focus needs to be on the Lord. Relate to Him as your Heavenly Father. Tell Him how much He means to you. Speak of how He's such a blessing to you. How much you love Him. Very important, class. In diligently seeking Him, He's promised to reward us. Very, very, very important. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us, Lord, as we begin this section of learning to interpret the Bible, that we might truly seek Your face and depend upon You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this lecture brought to you by Sewing Circle and Blue Letter Bible Ministries. The materials used in this course are subject to copyrights by the author and by Blue Letter Bible. They may not be altered, sold, or redistributed without express permission of the author and BlueLetterBible.org. We'd like to continue providing classes like these, free of charge, throughout the world and still keep our site ad-free. So, if your life has been enriched through the study of God's Word and you'd like to participate in this global ministry, you may do so by clicking on the Donate button at BlueLetterBible.org. We also invite you to visit us at www.BlueLetterBible.org to utilize the many other evangelical teachings and study tools that we provide for use in the home or church. Our curriculum includes classes for new believers, lay education courses, and Bible college level content. The lectures are taught from a range of evangelical traditions. You can email us at blbi@BlueLetterBible.org. Or our mailing address is Blue Letter Bible, 22431 Antonio Parkway, Suite B160, Rancho Santa Margarita. You can abbreviate that RSM, California 92688, USA.